dragged after my group while actually trying to put most of the alarm I felt into my facial expression rather than the pitch of the message. After all, it was nearly 1 a.m. and we were passing some flats where dozens of people we knew were fast asleep. Even in such a crisis, I was aware that if any of them saw my dad the next day and said, "Here, your Danny was pissed and causing a row outside our block last night," it would have put the tin hat on affairs. So it was more in the style of a strangulated stage whisper that I drew attention to having just been a victim of what we now call a drive-by. John Hannum reacted first. "Shot? What are you talking about, shot?" he said almost wearily, as if I'd asked him to help me find a shirt button. "Shot!" I cried, stage whisper rising towards boiling kettle. "Some fucker in a car just shot me in the leg!" John turned to the rest of the chaps. With a chuckle in his voice, he jerked a thumb towards my buckled pose and chortled, "Baker's just got shot!" And everyone began laughing. Crowding around me under the street lighting, they saw that the bullet, an inch-long chrome slug, had buried itself into the top of my knee right up to the yellow flights that adorned its base. Unconcerned with my pain, they seemed more intrigued as to who might have done it. The car I had identified to them was now well down the road, and as it receded into the gloom, it gave no clue as to its occupants. After a few moments dwelling on possible local suspects, it was agreed, though not by me, that this was merely the work of a little mob from over East London, just fucking about, having a laugh. The Rotherhithe Tunnel under the Thames lies at the end of Jamaica Road towards which the car sped, and this would logically take them back to their own part of town, case closed. Forming my index finger, middle finger and thumb into a claw, I set about pulling the slim bullet out. In the silence, my friends gathered about me to take in the gore. This was a mistake, for in turning all my attention on the injury, I had stupidly dropped my guard and carelessly become the softest of targets. And it was literally the softest of targets that was about to receive a slapstick second blast. Believing the immediate threat to be over, none of us had double-checked that the mystery car had actually driven into the Rotherhithe Tunnel. It hadn't. On arriving at the roundabout at the subway's entrance, it had in fact turned round and was now coming back towards us on the other side of the road. I certainly couldn't see this because I was facing away from the road. Bent over. From my pistol-packing tormentor's vantage point, I was now presenting the fullest and most irresistible of targets. I fancy I was even waving my rear around a little, just making the bullseye even more alluring. Then, crack! The dirty double-dip bastard shot me right up the arse. This time, I not only heard the report, I was forced to process their wild whoops of glee as the car sped off once again in the direction of Tower Bridge. I, of course, snapped violently upright, as though I were spring-loaded, both hands grasping the under-fire cheeks and turning the phrase, "Fucking hell, they've just shot me up the arse!" into one long, strangulated word. Now, if you thought my colleague's reaction after the first attack was possibly callous, I'm sure you must concede that this occasion deserved nothing short of roars. Shocked as I was, I knew even at the moment of impact that being shot up the arse was, comically, a classic. By morning, the sketch would be all over South East London, with pensioners, priests and close family members having to stuff handkerchiefs into their mouths in failed attempts to stifle outright guffaws. The only thing that might temper the hilarity would be a genuine sense of awe at what terrific marksmen these maniacs were. In those days, my arse was nothing like the size it would grow to be, and, while never of a supermodel slimness, to land a dart almost centre buttock from a moving car was little short of miraculous. If I had reported the incident, I dare say the police would have narrowed the immediate search down to any army snipers on leave, but the fact is, I didn't report it. In working-class areas in the late 70s, people didn't stride, or in my case hobble, to the local nick to alert the authorities there was a skylarking little mob with an air pistol on the loose, any more than the police expressed an interest in the tremendously common punch-ups in our local pubs. It just seemed to be part of the game. Compensation culture, trauma and counselling may be the options today, but back then, if you got shot up the arse in front of your friends, you simply had to take the gag on the chin, so to speak. Those of you who bought the first book in this series may be wondering why, when that one ended with my earliest TV appearances in 1982, we're now back in the late 70s again. Well, since that book was published, I've had countless friends and family members get in touch to say how come I hadn't included this story or that tale in the covered time frame, especially those that took place away from the show business spot.